Welcome to the Emotional Abuse Recovery Podcast, a podcast specifically designed to help you heal after a toxic or narcissistic relationship. This podcast teaches you to use your subconscious mind to go from feeling stuck to set free. In here, you will learn how to use the power of your own mind to free yourself from emotional pain, move forward with confidence, and experience the inner peace you deserve in your healing journey after emotional abuse. I'm your host and subconscious reprogramming coach, Allison Dagny. So let's get started. I am here with an amazing person who I can't wait to introduce you to. Actually, I'm going to let her introduce herself and we'll go ahead and get started.
So I'm Julia Starr. I'm a spiritual transformation coach. So I'm very much all about conscious and subconscious and higher consciousness work. And I would love to be able to share whatever wisdom and knowledge I have and be here to support anybody who needs it. And I'm so honored to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me here, sweetheart. I'm so honored.
Thank you. You are just such a light to me. And I am just so excited to have you here and share you with my audience. There may be people who are already connected with you, but if not, we're going to definitely leave that information at the bottom of the show notes so that they can get in touch with you, because I think the messages that you spread are so important. They really align with the things that I do and how I help people. And you have a really powerful story, and that was really intriguing to me. And I believe it can give people a lot of hope to understand a little bit about that and that healing is possible. So if you wouldn't mind to share a little bit about your personal story with our audience, that would be really amazing.
Of course, of course. So I attempt to keep focused because there's so much, but basically, yeah, I'm someone who has done the complete soul transformation that I would never have dreamed that I'd be where I am today, because I didn't even know what was possible. You know, growing up from a very broken home with a mentally ill mother, bipolar schizophrenic, father had gone from a very young age with no answers. And, you know, my mother beat me up when I asked her when daddy was coming home, you know, and I was never allowed to ask any questions. And so I never did. And things got buried. And of course, growing up with a mentally ill mother, there was a lot of mental, physical, and emotional abuse that was going on there. Very much like growing up as a prisoner in my own home and not allowed out. And so now that my mother has passed, it's been a year that she's passed. And yeah, I've gone through them all, from, you know, a 9-year addiction to dating the narcissist and dating all the wrong men that have come through to running and changing my life, and going through, I've been kidnapped and raped at the age of 14 and drugged and raped at the age of 23. And it's really, you know, I can smile at it now, and there's so many things I don't even know where to start and where to finish. However, I was my own guide and my own healer without even realizing that I was. And that's why once I started neurolinguistic programming, I was able to really break down and model myself and understand how did I do that? Because a lot of people said, how are you still alive? How are you even normal? And so I modeled myself and understood this is how. And so I'm a big believer. And so this is kind of like where I break everything that happens in the coaching industry. And really my biggest prerogative is to have people know that self-healing and is something that we all can do on our own. At some point, we need guidance and we need help and we want to get through. But it's all about just the self-awareness. It really starts on self-awareness. And there's some things that it's hard for us to comprehend when it comes to saying, the first place where I'll ever start is to say, is being 100% responsible. Because the first thing that we do as human beings is we're always blaming someone, something, or some circumstance. It's just part of our natural human nature. And so I could sit there and blame all the people that have hurt me in my life and all of what they've done. But honestly, without even knowing what I was doing, I was naturally brought to that place. And I understood that from every trauma, there's always a bright side. and from and there's always the empowerment. And when you get that empowerment, that's where you can instantaneously heal. And so it's really all about knowing how to ask the right questions to yourself and being honest with yourself and finding that empowerment. And being 100% responsible was one of the hardest things that I had done. So be like, what, I'm going to be responsible for the man who raped me, or for my mother smashing my head into walls, or all the abandonment daddy issues and all of the above. But in the end, yeah, we control our lives and we have complete control of our thoughts and our emotions. It's just knowing how. It's really just knowing how. And that's the hardest thing, is that, you know, especially when we're going through emotional trauma, we're caught in the event. We're always caught right in the center of it. We don't realize that it had a beginning and it had an end. And so having that end in mind is what always got me through. I always knew that there was more for me. That was the one place that I had a lot of that hope. So that's me like running it down, really. Sorry,
Yeah,
I'm trying to
no,
like
I love that because, you know, when I think about that too, you know, you said self-awareness, and self-awareness is so important because we can't fix what we don't know is not in alignment or that is not healed, right? If we're not in that self-awareness, how are we to move ourselves forward? And so I think that's really important. But I also love what you said about taking 100%. I like the word ownership. A lot of times people get confused with responsibility versus blame and things like that, because like you said, when someone hurts you, of course, that person who hurt you, it's their responsibility not to hurt people, right? However, it's our responsibility to heal ourselves. It's our responsibility to acknowledge that no one else has control of how we feel. No one else has control over our emotions or our thoughts. And that's where it is very, very empowering, because once we recognize that, then we can say, oh, wait, I don't like the way I'm feeling. And how can I change that? Right. So it's in that self-awareness.
most definitely. You hit now completely on the head. And that's the thing that's to look at too, is that we give so many things labels. And I want everyone to know and understand, there is not a human being on this planet that hasn't been the victim, right? That we haven't been that victim mode. That is our survival. That is our reality that we have been conditioned in and haven't been taught any other ways. So to say that we go into victim self all the time. We do. I still get into victim self all the time, and I catch it and bring myself out. There is no such thing as no. This is part of our programming, and it's okay. And yeah, that's the hardest thing of knowing that we have to be responsible for ourselves. And so I always start and say that the way, when people say, like, where do I start? Like, how do I know? What the hell? It's that first and foremost, we know that any time that we are feeling any dissonance. So if we're not liking how we're feeling, if we're not liking how we're behaving, whether we're right or wrong, it's not even about being right or wrong, but we're always feeling that we're on the defense. We're always feeling upset. We're always feeling this is not in alignment of who we truly are. It just isn't. It's not how we're programming. We're running off the unhealthy nervous system of and we this is where we look for our triggers. So we always have to say, okay, what is it that I'm feeling? What is it? And this sounds like very practical, but it really is what is it that I can change, and what is it that I must accept? And the thing that people always look at the most is, but that's one thing that actually studying neurolinguistic programming helped me to understand. And I'm not saying we need to go to such extremes as I did as change countries. However, your environment is everything. And so inside it's one of the most important areas that we need to test as we're going through transformation and as we're going through shifts, is that we need to change whatever it is that we need to change. But if something in our environment or someone in our environment is also, it's not helping us step forward and is making us go back to that old self, and is and no matter how wonderful or good they are, we know we lose a lot of people that we love along the way, or distance ourselves from a lot of people that we love, whether it's our own parents, sometimes it's in divorce, sometimes it's with close family members. I mean, this is where we realize it doesn't matter who is in our bloodstream and how far we've gone with someone, people change. And we're not pointing blame and saying who's wrong, who's right, because everyone's got their own story and their own condition. We're not judging anybody, but we are saying, if this person is making me unhealthy and this person isn't helping to bring the best out of me, then I have to do something about that.
Right.
And so our environment is very much what's going to make that shift. And me changing countries, I didn't realize what I was doing. I got on the plane after being on life support, And I was left for dead, right? The doctors couldn't explain how I made it. And this is like after I had three suicide attempts, right? And so when I finally like found my will to keep on going, then a virus came to take my life without me, without my desire, without me ever expecting it. And that was the biggest wake-up call that I could have ever had. And so I followed my intuition when I came through and said, okay, I'm going to, you know, find my father. I got on a plane and living in this illusion, sure that there was someone out there that loved me and I'm going to find my father, just to discover that when I got here, he was dead. So, and he had killed himself, and I had all that story. But I changed my entire environment. You're talking about me being in a 9-year addiction, me just following my intuition. I wasn't around the same people, the same places. I didn't see, I literally recreated myself from scratch. And I was literally just being. And so the best advice that I can give to people, which is where we get a lot of loss when we want to go into transformation, is to remember, always just start with the first step. This is where we get lost. So we have the end in mind. So the end may be, we always have the end in mind. We cannot not have an end in mind. We know that the end is, so the end in mind may be to for the healing, right? So we want to heal ourselves emotionally. We just want to be as close to abundance as we can of whatever we feel that, just being at peace and being at calm. It could be absolutely anything. Regard, we have that end in mind, but we take the first step. Because the first step will lead you to the second step. Don't get so pedantic on each step. That's when anxiety builds. That's when we start to stress ourselves so much. Just let the first step come and execute and just go forward. So this is how we make this. When we're making life changing decisions, and it's really change is something that we need to learn to just be getting used to. The seasons change, everything changes aside from us. We're changing too, but we're not acknowledging that, but we are changing too. And so to be okay with that we're changing, but to take it as a step by step. So that's why I always say it's first being 100% responsible before any of that. If somebody really wants to transform, if somebody's like had it, they raise their hands, I've had it. You've got to literally be in your completely committed to make whatever changes it is that you need to change. Like you don't care anymore. You're just like, I'm committed to me and that end result. And I'm going to do whatever it takes because I've had it. Because what I've been doing until now hasn't really been working for me, because I've been conditioned in this fluffy, bubbly, wobbly world to do X, Y, and Z. And then we realize that this world isn't so fluffy, bubbly, wobbly anymore. And now we're learning to think for ourselves and be for ourselves. And that is the most liberating. And so with all the pain and with all the anger and all the frustrations, as we know, as we say, there's always the storm before the rainbow brings us to such glory. And because no one's going to save us. No one's coming to save you. No one, not a single person.
I love that, because, you know, this is actually part of the work that I do. Also, what you're talking about is, one, taking ownership, having a vision, right? What do you want your life to look like? What is it, right? At the end, we all have this idea about what it is, and then commit to getting there. But what you're saying, and what I absolutely love, is that it's baby steps, right? It's just one step after another. You wouldn't jump out of bed one day and decide, well, I'm going to run a marathon today. No, you start training. You would start practicing. You would start drinking water and eating healthy and investing in good running shoes. And you would do all the little baby steps to get you to the finish line. And that's the goal. So I love that kind of pretty little package that we put that in, as far as like, let's take ownership. Let's build awareness of, you know, what's going on inside of us, and, you know, create that vision, and then committing to healing and committing to doing the work, right? Like you said, no one's going to do it for you. No one's coming to save you, right? You have to commit to doing this yourself. One thing that I love that because I like watching your social media and all your fun little reels and stuff that you do. One thing that you said that I really, really like, because I talk about emotions being like alarms, where they're like an indicator, yes, something's not in alignment, right? But what you say, and I just like for you to expand on this a little bit, is they're like stoplights, right? So you've got your green, you've got your yellow, you've got your red. So can you tell us a little bit about that and kind of explain that?
Yes, I'll break it down, because this is where our confusion, this is why all of the work that I do is all about the four dimensions of human connection, which is the mental, the emotional, the physical, and the energetic. And why?
Say that again. Okay, mental,
physical. The mental, emotional, and physical, and the energetic/spiritual, right? The energy and the spiritual go together.
Okay.
Because when we understand what we are, which is what we were not taught, we were not taught what our thoughts are. We were not taught what our emotions were. We were not taught what our subconscious is. We were not taught any of these. When we understand what we are, then we start to, we release judgment, because I truly believe, at least in my belief, I don't even believe that God or source or whatever divine doesn't even judge us. We're our own judges, right? And this is why you see, if you see people going on like, you know, Big Brother and things like that, what's the most common thing that you hear them say all the time? Like, you know, I'm just being my true self. And, you know, it's always the one thing that you always hear them repeating, as long as I'm true to myself and I'm just being me. Because when we have a camera on ourselves, we're actually forced to truly look at ourselves. So a lot of us actually think we know ourselves. And this is only according to statistics. And it's actually fresh on my mind. I actually had a discussion with this with someone earlier today, is that, and you know, statistics only has the minority of people. It's not the whole world. And in statistics, they've proven to see that there's only like 15% of people are truly self-aware. We're all aware of the illusory self, right? The illusion of ourself because of the identity that we've carried through. And this is why we're struggling and we don't understand ourselves. That anytime we are behaving in a certain way, stop judging ourselves, saying whether it's good or bad. We need to change good or bad to effective, non-effective, right? Is it effective for me? Is it not effective? Let go of those judgments. It's because of the conditioning and the way that we're brought up. Mm-hmm. And it all starts even from childhood. Even if we've had the best mothering and fathering, even if we've had the best, we're talking in this fluffy, bubbly world, right? With the best intentions from everyone, right? We're still completely conditioned. And so our emotions and our heart center are two different things. This is how I see it. So okay. I'll explain it in the simplest terms possible, so that it makes sense. I'll do my best in
doing that. Our emotions and the heart center. So yeah, explain that a little bit.
So, okay, our emotions, which is how I see it as the traffic lights, right? This is our traffic lights. Our emotions is like our GPS. It lets us know what's up. So it helps us to navigate ourselves. So if we're feeling sad, it will like show up, right? If we're feeling angry, it will show up. So it's like, it will let us know when we need to slow down. If it's there, it will let us know when we need to stop and take a look and see, and it'll let us know when we go. And this is where the conscious awareness always comes in. This is why there's a slogan that I always stick by, which is awareness is awakening. It really is. But just by the sheer fact of being aware of ourselves and our emotions, we have to ask ourselves these questions. And I'll get to the questions. Remind me to get to those questions in a second, because there's two main questions that I will tell everyone that we need to go by. So that's our emotions. Our emotions is literally letting us know what's going on. It's letting us know what's going on with our physical body. It's letting us know what's going on with our perceptions of our reality, what meanings we're giving to things. That's what our emotions are. Now, our emotions are a makeup of our subconscious. They come from our subconscious mind, okay? And at the same time, so is our heart center. So our heart center is not our subconscious. The subconscious, as you may have even heard, is the inner child, right? This is the subconscious, right? That the little kid that's like the servant that will do whatever you tell it to do, yet very naive and just believes whatever you tell it. So it's as simple as that, right? So it's like the child slash soldier. Uh-huh. But the way that we communicate, and this is where I'll go in, and I'll be very brief on it because it really depends on how deep we go into it. But the world where I come from, where I work with all levels of consciousness, we have, and now neuroscientists, you've spoken about reading many of Joe Dispenza's books, and I think it was you that identified to me that like this channeling mentioned something. I didn't see that pattern in one of the books, but Joe Dispenza just makes sense of everything, by the way. Everyone should look into it. So we've got the conscious, the way we communicate to all levels of consciousness, which science has proven out too, is that there needs to be the connection with the left brain and the right brain, and then we can move out to higher consciousness. Same thing, that's conscious, subconscious, higher consciousness. Our higher consciousness is completely connected to the heart center. That's our true self. That's our values. Our values that we live our life, and our reality is created on our beliefs and our values. And 99% of people do not know their values. They don't, but they think they know their values and they haven't even listed it out. This is one of the most important processes that I go through with people. When you list out your values, you start to realize and understand why there's dissonance with your emotions. Because you're like, this is being broken. Like, you can say that one of my values is, I know you can say, let's just keep it basic and say, like, in relationships is loyalty, mm-hmm. right? So you say that you have loyalty, but then, you know, loyalty is very vague and can be stretched thin. And so lying or something like this can fall into that category. And then you're understanding why you're getting so fired up. You're understanding why, because it's not in alignment with your values. So we may see them, let's break it to more simple language that maybe coaches and things are not talking about. We used to call them morals, right? He's like, two people could be completely different, but as long as their morals are the same, right? Yeah. So you could be two complete opposites, as long as your values are in alignment. And when we're not in alignment, this is why I can say, you know, people can even Google how to elicit my values. Like, you to know your values, mm-hmm. is the biggest process of coming home, stripping away the layers and figuring out where things are going okay and where things are not. And anything that is in dissonance with who we are is what we need to shift and look at and say, okay, because that's not our natural state of being. We're not meant to be in that aspect. Even to the point, like I can say that, you know, I was growing up with a mentally ill mother, and I knew, and I had to move out. I moved out of home when I was 16 years old, and it was the toughest decision. I got my home and everything. I believe it was my sister that ended up like dobbing me into my mother. I was so afraid of letting my mother know, because I was like her carer, and I didn't know. I never wanted to hurt her. I never wanted to make her feel betrayed, but I was in a prison of myself. You know, I couldn't be there anymore. And I had to remove myself on that aspect. Shall I have known what I'd known today, I wouldn't have had all that bitterness and all that anger and all that frustration that was like haunting me with all of that. But yeah, sometimes we make decisions for ourselves that's going to hurt people.
Yeah,
and that's where you just have to jump off and say, there's nothing I can do about this. I'm doing me now. Right. I'm doing me now. And that's where we're talking about being selfish is a good thing, because as long as you know that you've got the best will of yourself and others in mind, be a selfish. You have to be selfish. Yeah. Our making is to be selfish.
What do you think about, so when you talk about the values, right, and knowing your values and why that's so important, and like you were saying before, like we give meaning to the things, right? The good or the bad or the right or the wrong, right? That's where it comes from, is from our society, from our upbringing, from our religions or whatever, right? All these things are the meaning that we give to it. The morals, the good, the bad, we are the ones that get that. So when you're talking about values though, and like you said, some people don't know what they value. How do you get there? Because, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I value certain things, right? But one thing I do know that is, if I don't show up in ways that actually prove to myself that I value that, I don't really value it. Because if I say I value sleep, right? I really value sleep. I really value going to bed on time, but I stay up and I play on my phone for 2 hours before I go to bed and then I'm exhausted. Do I really value sleep, or am at that point, am I valuing being on my social media more? So how do you know, right?
That's a very good question. So when I help people to elicit values, it's a very good question. Is what first we're listing out. So for example, you'd be saying, if we're going to talk about, because we have our values for relationships, friendships, lifestyle, spirituality, our environment. Okay. And so let's just say we're going with relationships, and you say that the first thing is, what's important to me? What is the most important for me to have in a relationship? And so you'll say honesty, and some people will say money. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, you know, because we're looking, and we always have that, we understand what it is, right? So we'll list a whole bunch of things down, and then we rank them from level of importance. So you want to make sure you've got at least 10 of them. And it gets, I actually did values with someone today, early today. We had a session earlier this morning. See it on his face. And I said, listen, if you're getting frustrated, it's a good thing. It means the work's getting done. It's because it is a frustrating process. You're starting to realize, and you're going through and you're starting to question things. So first we're listing out our values. We're saying what's important. And then we're looking at the meaning of them. Then afterwards, we go down and we understand the meaning of them. What is important to me? What does it mean to me? So we've got the meaning. So what is important to me on that relationship? So then we have our stay and go values. These are the things that people miss out a lot when we do. So we have our towards values, where we're saying, like, this is what we want. Then we have the values, where we're looking at what we want to avoid, right? So it's what we want and what we want to avoid. And when we realize what it is that we want to avoid, and so you can say aggressiveness, right, or mind games or manipulation or dishonesty. It could be as basic or as in-depth, lack of self-awareness, lack of intelligence, stability. But there's so many things. And then you start to look and you go, oh, my gosh, I completely understand now why I'm so unhappy in my relationship, or I completely understand where things are not working. Then we go into, I'm basically giving a whole values rundown here. Here is a whole session for everyone. This is one of the most valuable. This is like gold. It's like, this is where I talk about practicality meets spirituality. This is about the most practical stuff that I go through within my program. The rest is very deep and subconscious reprogramming and spiritual. But this one's very practical. Then we go, okay, so if this value, if these were all my values and all my values are being met, yet, okay, one of them is being broken, right? What would that be that would make me go? Which value would make me leave? Which value being broken would make me leave where it's like, absolutely not? Mm-hmm. And so you may say, for example, I've had a lot of experience with with a narcissist and things like that. So for me, in my case, maybe I would say mind games.
Mm.
Right? Mind games is like the big no-no. And then you might say, so then we have, okay, so now that that value has been broken, yet what would still make you stay? Like, what is a value that they could do that would really make you stay? And in some cases, you say absolutely nothing. And then you leave on. Then you might say, okay, there's something else, maybe honesty, maybe them wanting to repair and taking that effort. And you say, you know what, I'm willing to compromise myself and put in that effort. I love them and whatever. Then what would make me go? So it's really not knowing your values, your towards and your away. So what you want, what's important to you in a relationship, and what you want to avoid in a relationship, what will make you stay and what will make you go. So first, what will make you go and what will make you stay? You get this, your whole life is going to start changing.
Yeah, and not just your like romantic relationships, but you can do it with work.
For relationships, friendships. Yeah, definitely. I have like a little workbook that I can send you on that too. You're welcome to share with people that if you want. It's like the most important things in the world. I've recently been working with someone, and she has had to come to the decision of whether she was going to get divorced. It was like one of the most interesting relationship situations. And a week after we did the values, she had made that decision, and she's already changed her environment. And she's got that. That's how powerful values are. That's how powerful values are.
It comes and, that self-awareness, like you said, like every single thing, like, how do you know if you don't know, right? You have to sit down and
ask. This is how you know. Exactly. This is how you know who you truly are. People say, who is your true self? Who am I? You know what? Get to know your values. You start to understand who you truly are. And even better, you understand who you're not. Mm. Because when you understand who you're not, that you can change. Who you're not, you can change. Because this is where we say, you know, you were never broken, right? We were never broken. And it doesn't matter what mistakes that you've made in life, who your true authentic self is absolutely fabulous. We just got to peel away those layers and get out those layers and get the core out. And then we discover who it is that we are. Stop judging ourselves and just start making the shift. Yeah. I can tell you a million and one mistakes that I've made in my lives and the things that I've done. I could sit and cry about the mistakes that people have done to me and the mistakes that I've done to others. But in the end, I had to make that decision. I was single for 6 years until I met my husband. 6 years. And I was reached at the point that, you know, and again, it's that nonchalant before I met my husband. I was like, that's it. I could write a book on or a full documentary on all the dates that I went on, right? It's like unbelievable. But I had, and that was the only time I ever went to therapy. So I was dating and I went to a psychotherapist and I thought maybe there is a block with me. Maybe there's something not right with me because I just don't seem to be having that chemistry with anybody. I don't understand. Even that inner part of me was like that knowing, it's just that, no, I just haven't met the one. I can't settle. There was the few things that I could not settle. And that's like having my best friend. There was the few parts that I knew without a doubt after dating that scary narcissist where it was like, you know, running for my life. Bringing myself right back down to earth. When you know, if I had known to know my values, it would have been so much easier to see what I'd done. But regardless, I went to a psychotherapist, and after it was like 5 or 6 sessions, is when she said to me, she's one of my favorite people in the world. She's like, you don't need me. There's nothing I can do to help you. I don't believe that there's anything wrong. You know exactly what you want, what it is, and there's nothing wrong with you. Maybe you just haven't met the one. Like, and to hear that from it, and she was a very successful psychotherapist. She's been like 20 years and like working with people with addictions and stuff. And she's just a phenomenal woman. And I realized I was doubting myself all this time. I just wasn't ready. My energy wasn't ready. So I was having that resistance. And when I literally just released and let go, he came along. Mm-hmm. But I had those boundaries that I wouldn't cross. Today, I know the more is deeper as values, but I knew what it is that there was no compromise on. He's going to be my best friend. He's going to make me treat me like a queen. There's going to be absolutely no manipulation between us. You know, these like with the few, these were for me. I didn't realize that there were values. So when I worked on doing my values, that's when I was like, oh, this is so much deeper and so much more important. And everybody, there's not a person that I worked on values that didn't get frustrated. It didn't get frustrated. It's frustrating looking at yourself. It's frustrating digging deep. And it's even more frustrating when we want to change. Because again, the old conditioning says, there must be something wrong with you if you need to change. No, there's something so right with you if you need to change. Just change. Excellent. Excellent. Just keep going forward. So,
well, let's talk about that a little bit more, because when you were talking about, you mentioned resistance, right? And in your personal situation that had come up, what do you think about how the subconscious mind was playing a role in that, as far as were there beliefs and things that were sort of keeping you from wanting to put yourself out there? Or do you feel like it was something different?
For me, it was actually different. I like literally had put myself out. I knew I was good, right? I knew I was good, and I knew that what I have to offer in a relationship was good. I didn't know the baggage that I was carrying, to be honest. I didn't know, because I knew that I was good. I knew that I had a big heart, and I knew that I was caring, and I put myself out. But those thoughts did creep in, which were actually beliefs. They're saying, okay, maybe I'm not meant for life. Like, I remember before I met my husband, I had that sort of thing. Maybe it's not for me. Maybe I'm not meant to be now. Maybe I'm meant to be on my own. Maybe that's good. And you're like, you know what? I would rather be on my own than to be with someone that I'm settling with. So you know what? Like, I don't care. That's my goal. That's my end in mind. It's like, this is what I'm not settling for. This is uncompromisable. You know, where my grandmother was like, oh my God, there's things that you need to take to the grave. How did you tell your you know, my boyfriend at the time, now is my husband, why did you tell him all of that? You know, me when I was, you know, exposed into sexual exploitation, into drug addiction, and all the like stories that you don't usually share with your partner. And the parts that, you know, later on, my husband had confessed to me that were things that he had to work through on his own. But that's my best. That's for me. I'm not saying that that's what everyone has to do, but that was for me. Mm-hmm. You don't know who my past is, then you don't know who I am. And even though today I'm in a different like headspace in that, because the past is really of no existence to me. Like, I really don't even think, the only time I ever think of my past is when I get asked these questions and have to share or be to there. My anytime I share my story, it's I have absolutely no interest of being heard. It's completely to know, because I've been inspired by other people's stories. I really get that. So if my story can inspire, because there is absolutely nothing different about me than anyone else. And if you look up at me and you look at my page, and this is what I say to people, you look up at me, and if you are coming into my energy fields, if you are with me, then we are a mirror reflection somehow. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're seeing in me is definitely inside you. Oh. And so anyone can do it. And if I can do it without having those skills, but this is why it's all about being in balance and being in mind, because I'm a big believer in knowing how to work through the magician mind, which is working through intuition. And you'll hear it say, you got to have intuition and you got to act on intuition. This is everything that I wrote in a book about. But when you take it that step by step, and you're just surrendering to that process, you're like, show me the way. I'm going to do it. Let's take that first step. Intuition will show you. Because when you accomplish that first step, that empowerment, when you're doing things for yourself, there's not a single person or thing that can give you that feeling, or a drug, nothing can give you that high. And when you completely begin to trust yourself and love yourself on that aspect, oh, that's better than any high I've ever been on, and better than anything. This is reality. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we got to depend on ourselves.
Yeah. So. In doing that, I feel like also that we surrender, like you said, when that happens, we are not trying to force an outcome. We're not trying to push something to happen in a certain way. Right. So resistance will come up. I've noticed that for myself. I've noticed it in a lot of clients and things, but resistance is also a good, I feel like it's a good thing, because it's an indication that something needs to be worked on, right? It's an indication like, okay, if you're resisting this, there is probably a good reason, right? Sit down, journal it out, figure it out what it is, and see if you can release whatever that is that's keeping you in that resistance, because there's something there, whether it's a subconscious belief, whether it's you not trusting yourself, whether it's something to do with your intuition and fear or whatever that might be, your emotions. We have to get to the source of what that is, right? What is the source of the resistance? Because to me, it's a big red flag. Like, something needs to be worked on here. Like, pay attention, be self-aware. And that's the other thing that I was, this is going to bring me into this next question, because you said remind you, and I actually have this written down as a question for you.
Oh, awesome.
Trying to remind you was
remind me what you had to remind me.
The questions to heal, right? So in the work that I do and the work that you do, we both ask a lot of questions of our clients, because questions are really what help people get to that truest version of themselves, get down to that self-worth, that self-loving person that we were born as. That non-broken, you know, version of ourselves. The questions are so, so powerful. And I have lots of questions that I like to ask people, but what are your favorite questions? Tell me about the two favorite questions that you have.
So the two favorite questions that I always advise people to do, especially if you're in a position where you're still, some people actually, it's not even about not being able to reach out and get help. Maybe some people are literally in a position that they cannot. They really cannot, whether it's finances and things. And you know, I've come to really realize that yes, when you say there's nothing that was standing in your way, but sometimes things are standing in our way. So these questions are especially to those that you literally, you don't have that person that you can call on the phone and be your complete authentic self with. You're kind of like feeling in your own little bubble on your own. Go by these questions and you'll know them because of the kind of line that you're working in, and you'll understand what comes. So is that when we are feeling on something that's not in alignment with us, so we're feeling that resistance, we're feeling that negativity, you're saying, well, what does that mean to me? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to me that I'm feeling that? What does that mean to me? What's more important than that? And so what's more important than that? And so what does that mean to me? Until you get the answer. This is how I work on automatic. This is the thing. This is how things get brushed under the rug, is that we feel a certain thing, we'll question it. You know, what does that mean to me? Well, it means that he doesn't care. And we kind of like just leave it at that. He doesn't care. And then we start eating up these stories and emotions and thoughts, and we get trailed down. But then you say, so what's important about that? Well, it means that I'm not being respected. And so what does that mean to you? And you keep digging through until you get the answer. You're like, oh, okay, that's the core. That's the root. Here we go. Now we found the core. So what's even more important than that? You constantly get to it, and that's it. And then you'll know. Sometimes just the awareness is enough for us to make a shift. We're like, oh, okay, now I know. And in other cases, we know we need to do more healing on that, whether it's to have someone that can help break it down. You can even use Google as your best friend. Like, if you really want to do things, basically what we're doing when we're making it on our own is that we're just taking the longer route. If you're really going to dig and research, I wish I had Google, like, to the extent that I had it back then. But you could literally, so if you get lost and you really are in a position that you really feel that you're on your own, just start questioning, put things in Google, how to manage this, how to handle that. You'll figure it out. There's no such thing as that. There's like, don't ever believe that you can't do it on your own. Shall you be able to get guidance and someone that's can help you, you're going to have like that speed, like power through, and you're going to save yourself a lot of money, a lot of heartache, and a lot of things. But don't ever feel that you cannot. Deal with whatever it is that you have. So if you can't reach out, those are the two main questions that you ask yourself. I do this on automatic, and it happens. Like, I guess your questions kind of branch off from these kind of things, but these are the main two core questions that get you to the answer. When you get the answer, you get resolution on that and you move on.
Right.
And that's the when you don't get things pile up and get blocked until the point that you don't even know where to start. This is why I believe that I was still normal after all this, because when things came in, because of my mentally ill mother, I was so afraid of ever turning out like my mother that I was so consciously aware of my thoughts all the time. So just make sure I wasn't crazy, right? I was always consciously aware that even when we moved, I moved into my first house, and my sister was like, oh, you put the sponges and like the dishwashing sponges. My mother would always have a spare, and you put it in the drawer just like mom. Like, straight away, I changed it around. You know, I was like, oh, 16. I was like, oh, no. But that was my blessing. That was my gift, that I was very analytical on how I thought. So for me to master my mind was actually an easier process. It was harder in the sense that I started to realize like how much negative thoughts I actually have. And we know that even science is proving, what's the number, that like 80% of what we think about is like repetitive, or and from the same thoughts, and from those same thoughts, like 70 or 80% of that is negative. When you start to like write down your thoughts, even if you give yourself a challenge for a day that you say, I'm going to start like putting down those negative thoughts or beliefs. We don't know what they are, right? Well, let's not jump in. We're like, okay, it's a thought or belief. Either it's a habit, a bad habit, or it is a belief. You start to catch yourself and you start to realize, oh my gosh, there's so much of it going on. And then you start to question. And then you can just, so you may say, okay, I'm noticing that I'm like throwing stones at myself, or not. I'm not enough. I'm not enough. This is not going to happen for me. This isn't going to be good. I'm at work, and I, you know, I'm not going to get the that promotion that I want, or I'm not going to. We're always thinking. You start to notice all these things. You start to write them down. From there, you'll figure out where your beliefs are. Everything that we're made up of, everything that we create our reality in, is our beliefs and our values.
Yeah,
Period.
I think it was
And
like
so,
60, I think it was like
yeah.
60 to 70,000 thoughts we have a day. And I think what you said, 80% of those are the same thoughts as we had yesterday. So if we're not writing them down, if we're not, actually kind of pulling back from ourselves and given a little like bird's eye view of who we are, what we're thinking, because our thoughts happen so quickly, right? It's 60 to 70,000 thoughts just like rapid firing in your brain. We don't even consider it. It's creating emotions, it's driving our habits and our behaviors, like you said. Like if we don't actually take the time to, like you said, think about what I'm thinking about. Like, what am I thinking about here? Put it on paper. See how you're beating
This is
yourself up.
exactly, this is where journaling comes in. This is where I say we need to journal. Like, I mean, it's great we can journal and things, the things that we're grateful for. Eventually, you'll understand that you've got to be grateful there and then. You're grateful with someone that's given you a smile. You're grateful. Thank you. You know, we're grateful there and then. We journal on our negativity, on our thoughts, and identify our limiting beliefs. We want to understand what it is that we're thinking. Even if you look at all the businesses, you know, if you understand business structures, were designed from the human mind. If you use those same principles within your life, it came from life. You know, we need to understand where it comes in life. And any successful person that has succeeded in everything they've done is because they had actually written it down. They had actually had the end in mind. They had their goal in mind. Their goal in mind. That's the vision. Then they understood what steps they're going to take to get there, one step at a time. That's the mission. Even in business, when we're taking a business, we have like the overall, but we have no idea what other steps are involved, as you know, as we're setting up a business and an entrepreneur, there's so many things. And all that is based on our values. Even in business, mission and values, right? It's the same thing. It's all based on our values because that's the truth of who we are. And that's why we're always going to be unhappy if we're not in alignment with our values in our career and in so many things. So we pick and choose and we understand how it all comes into place. We have to get very comfortable at questioning ourselves. That's it. If you can master your mind, you will master your life. Master your mind, you'll be able to master. So let's do the reverse engineering here. So this is how I see it. We want to master our reality. And we know that everything in this reality is energy. This is like pure science. Everything in this reality is energy. So energy, we want to be able to be masters of energy, to be able to master energy and move energy and bend time. We have to be masters of our mind and our emotions. In order to do that, we have to completely master our emotions. In order to master your emotions, you must master your mind because your mind is what can control your emotions. And to master your mind is to be completely conscious, to be conscious, consciously aware of our thoughts and consciously aware of the unconscious thoughts. And that is the way that we're feeling when specific thoughts are triggered. Because a lot of the times we're saying things, oh, it's not going to happen for me. But this is a very common one. And we don't even like give it that attention. We don't even realize it just gets swept under the rug. You say, hang on a second. Why is that not for me? I want to know why isn't that for me? Let's really find out the truth. Why is that not for me? Why won't it work for me? And then you start to realize that we've got so many assumptions. That's the hard part. And if you think that you're going to be able to make a transformation and you're not putting in that kind of work, we're living in an illusion. But the work just gets easier. It all starts to go on automatic, and to go into your true self, the coming home, it should be a fun process because you're getting to really know you. There is not a thing in the world that can take away that feeling of that. Just being whole within yourself, even when you're unhappy. We, you know, we're humans. We have things that come up. We're not gurus, but to know and to be confident in your own decision making, and in your own like values and your own principle, where you like really like no, that is not acceptable with me. That you can't even. It's once you really understand how the mind works and in the conditioning, it's almost impossible to actually be offended by people. It's
It is.
actually impossible to take it in that aspect because you know who you are. Maybe you say, "I don't like that energy. I don't like that. I'd appreciate to be further away from that person," rather than like, I need to defend myself right now. And how dare you speak to me like that? Who do you think you are? And who are you? Like, we don't even, that's not in our existence anymore. That used to, you know, that saying was in my vocabulary for a very long time. Who do you think you are? And who do you think you are? You know, and you don't know my story. You don't know who I am, right? And now it's like, I even forget my story because I'm so fast.
Doesn't matter anymore, right? Like I totally understand that. That's the beauty of this work. That's the beauty of getting into your mind, mastering your mind, your subconscious thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your values, right? Knowing what those things are, being in awareness of it. Because what happens is, like you said, you're peeling away all of the layers, the gunk that's just been built up over time, the programming and the conditioning and all of the things that society and family and parents and teachers and everybody has just like, it's just all this noise, right? We're just getting rid of it, getting back to who we truly are. And you can't be offended when you understand how the mind works, when you understand that our emotions are literally just a product of our subconscious thoughts, a bit about our beliefs, about how we've been wired. You know, it changes your whole perspective.
Exactly. It's just a conditioning. Exactly. And you know, I can even tell you that, like, even things when I was doing the cleanup for myself, and like where I brought myself to forgiveness and empowerment for the men that raped me, for example, and like, you know, these like deep core issues. I literally, another perspective that I can give people to maybe if they want to borrow the perspective that I had, is that I always see is that everything, because you know, there's like the five main wounds that we go through as especially if we're abused throughout childhood or if we're in like relation. Most of the stuff gets stemmed from childhood, if not past lives. But when we're dealing with betrayal, injustice, rejection, abandonment, these feelings, they lead us to the behaviors and the way that we're feeling now. So this one thing that we just need to be easy on ourselves. So what I say to myself, and it's worked every time. So whether it's true or not, I don't know whether we had a contract before we came here or not, but let's like just play in these fantasies because honestly it works, is that I say, what was this? If I really did choose some of the things, even though I truly, now we understand what manifestation is, we understand scientifically that we create our reality with our thoughts and our feelings. And did I manifest rape into my life? It's very likely that I did the second one anyway. Like it's very likely that some of these things that are unconscious awareness. However, let's put that aside. But you say, let's say this was a piece of the puzzle. I didn't pick to be brought into the family that I was brought in, right? I didn't pick that. I didn't manifest that. That was done before I was born. You know, especially if we've gone through like sexual abuse within the family, so many different things. I always say, what is the piece of the puzzle? Why was that? Why did I put that? If I really picked that before I came here, what did I need to learn about that? And that's what I used to always say. And then when I studied NLP, what I found very interesting is that one of the modules that we work through in order to make a shift, which actually stems back all the way, not from neuro-linguistic program, all the way back from Albert Einstein even, is that we say, is it, we got to find the positive intention. Like, you know, we got to understand what was the empowerment, what was the positive learnings that we had. So when people are in theta brain state, the unconscious can quickly pick up on that hidden information. We know that information, it's hidden. And that's why people think it's like magic. But literally, it's when we put the consciousness to sleep, which is only like 3% of our life, right? Everything is being activated and controlled and done by our subconscious. It's all the hidden information is there. And so when we ask the subconscious, you know, what was the positive learnings from that? It's the same thing, the pieces of the puzzle. You know, so I was like, that was my code. That's how I did it. So intuition had showed me ways of doing it. I had it in a different language. Today I was speaking it. But if you think of it in that aspect, I always, this is advice that I give to everyone. What was, just play, it doesn't matter if it's real or not, but if you play this game with yourself, you'll get to your empowerment. What was it here? What did I need to learn from that? What did I learn from that? For me, in my case, it was always, how can I give back? I don't know. It's like I always knew I was meant to be here to serve. It was just like a part of me. I was that little girl that was just always the giver. So not everyone is built in that aspect. So, but you may, because it's interestingly enough, even science has proven when they've tested with all the, you know, the machinery that they put on the brain scales, that when we are literally in that abundant mindset, when we say abundant and soul set, we're literally the person is feeling that they are in the complete belief system and knowing that whatever they need is provided, right? So there is no stress, there's no worry, there's no fear. It's now science has proven that the natural human being, the way of being when they're in that state is to just give. So all of us are here to give in some way. This is just how we're built. So it's very, very interesting. So you may find your own little particles of that in your own story and how you want to look at it, but look at it in the piece of the puzzle. What was I meant to learn from here? And that will give you that empowerment. That's where the empowerment is. That's where the light can just start to shine. It's peeling away those pieces of the puzzle. It's turning, it's where I say it's like, you know, becoming from victim to victor.
I was just going
You
to
know,
say,
we're
it
turning
takes you out of victim mentality to do it that way.
completely. That's what we're breaking out of. We're breaking out of the victim mentality. We were programmed into victim mentality, and we've been operating and programmed into survival. Because we're human beings. Once upon a time, human beings were running on the parasympathetic nervous system, which was the rest and digest. That's how we used to operate. Now we're completely operating on the all other side of things and doing meditations and whatever we can so that we can operate through rest and digest. Because when we are relaxed, when we are restful, we can act, we get deeper insight. This is our intuition. This comes through. We know how to take aligned action. We can do that. But intuition is only going to be at the level of where you're at. So if you're like, you know, in a complete unstable place, you're going to struggle to hear your intuition, or it's going to give you ideas and things to do that is very surface based. It's not the best time to listen to your intuition when you're going through a funk. But when we start to like take those deep breaths and when we're restful, this is why mindfulness has been curing cancers and things like that. When we're restful, we can think clearly. We can think clearly that we've got to put the logical mind down to rest and take our actions.
Yeah, and I think part of what you were talking about made me think about how our ancestors, thousands of years ago, were constantly in a state of fight or flight for their survival. You know, they had to worry about predators, they had to worry about natural disasters, they had to worry about n not eating, lots of things where they're in fight or flight mode, a lot of stress and a lot of you know, negative kind of feelings going on inside of them because they're just trying to survive. But as we've evolved, we don't necessarily need those same types of responses. So if we're living in that fight or flight state, like you were talking about, where it's just kind of like this nasty negative place to be and to feel, it's so much harder, right? It's so much harder to heal. It's so much harder to be in awareness of what's going on inside of us. And so I really, really do. I love the things that you say. I really align with everything that you talk about. And I am so just absolutely, I know you don't like to talk about your story, but your story is so, so inspiring, right? It's so inspiring. And to see that somebody can go from where you've been to where you are now, to this just bright light, spreading your love, spreading your wisdom and helping people in the ways that you do. That is, you are my people. And I am just so happy that you've spent this time with me and that you've been here with me. One thing I do ask you though, because I ask all my guests this question, yes, is can you just tell us something about you that not a lot of people know?
That not a lot of people know.
Anything.
Oh my God.
Interesting or unique.
I guess it's like the bits and pieces. Oh my gosh, I don't. There's probably a lot of things that people don't know. I love to laugh at myself. I laugh at myself a lot. For example, like all these videos, you mentioned this, why I was laughing in the beginning when you said, I like all your videos and your quirkiness and stuff. If you could see behind the scenes of when I'm doing that, you would laugh, because I was this person that would never want to be in front of the camera.
You should do a behind the scenes video. Hilarious.
I don't know what to put in. But that's why I was laughing with my husband the other day. So those quirky things that I do, and when I show my husband and I'm just laughing at myself, is that I literally, this, what I'm doing is just entering that inner child. I obviously know how to create, but I have that belief in my mind that I don't know how to create. I'm not creating. I was shut down, right, as a child. And I honestly don't feel I know how to create. Like, tell me to create. I know how to be me. And so when you're running a business and your coaches are telling you you've got to put out content and things, I just know how to be me. And I don't know how. So I'm like, okay, how do I bring humor into it? And I know. And it's funny because one of my clients who's now, she's like my soul sister. I love her so much. We built such a wonderful connection. She's a successful actress. And so I said to her, you've really got to give me some acting tips because I can't. So my biggest quirkiness is like really making these videos. I laugh at myself so much. Yesterday I even peed. Not yesterday, it was the day before yesterday. I literally peed on myself. I felt the pee come out and the tingles. I was laughing so hard at my I was doing the shooting video. Yeah, I don't know. I was just doing this, and I'm like, I can't believe that I even do that. You know, I'm like, just what message do I get across? I'm very, very good at laughing with myself, I guess, and at myself. I really don't care because I share it. And that's the biggest, like, I always laugh at myself. That's maybe something that maybe people don't really see because I don't really show on behind the scenes, but I'm laughing at myself consistently. So if you're laughing at my videos, I promise you I'm laughing 10 times more because I'm like,
yeah, I am entertained. I am learning all the things just by watching your social media. So if you're listening to this podcast, I highly recommend that you give Julia a follow and join her in her laughter, because everything you do and all the things that you say are just absolutely wonderful, bringing your light to the world. And I'm so thankful that you've spent this time with me here today.
To hear that from you is such an honor. You are just the most powerful force, that one day your entire story is going to come out and hear. You are one of the most powerful women when it comes to self-transformation. So it's my honor to hear those words from you, like with complete love and grace. So thank you.
With all my pleasure. Tell everybody where they can find you, how they connect with you on social media or your website or whatever you want to tell them.
So they can always go to juliasaar.com. That's like S-A-A-R, juliasaar.com, at Juliasaar Coach. Feel free to pop in a DM. I'm happy to give anyone that wants to get understand on how to elicit their values. I'll give them the workbook for that. It's like, honestly, elicit your values. Don't let nothing stand in your way no more. Reach out, follow, trust, and use all the resources that you got. The worst something could do is say no. So you got questions and things, you get in, you don't come and target in on that. So that's what the social media is there for. It's for the community to build in. And so come and be part of the community. It's our community. It's not mine. It's ours. We're just It's just on my page, but it's our community. So everybody is absolutely welcome with so much love.
Great. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate
you. With pleasure. Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you.
Thank you for being here with me today in the Emotional Abuse Recovery Podcast. I hope you found value here with me. If this podcast episode was helpful to you, I'd love for you to hit subscribe and leave me a review. My goal is to help you go from feeling stuck to set free. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook, and you can check out whentearsleavescars.com for more resources and information to help you with your own emotional abuse recovery. Until next time, here's to believing in